for Chesterfield.
Just four more shopping days, you know, till Christmas. So you better go to your Chesterfield dealer. He'll supply you Christmas gifts that satisfy.
Chesterfield.
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 Christmas card cartons of milder Chesterfield.
That's right.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood, with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, Lindsay Crosby and Trudy Irwin. As is Bing's custom at Christmas time, he opens the program with Adeste Fidelis, and as usual, he will sing it first in Latin and then in English, with the studio audience joining him.
Yeah, Ken, I think it would be very fitting if our guests here would join in a chorus of Come All Ye Faithful.
Well, Bing, I think it'd be very nice if the home folks listening in all over the world would join in, too.
Oh, it would indeed. Gather around now, folks, wherever you may be, and help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste fidelis, laeti triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Natum videte, regem angelorum. Venite adoremus, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, Dominum.
And now everybody here and everybody at home in the family key. Thank you very, very much. Now, on tonight's program, folks, the accent is definitely going to be on well-known and traditional Christmas music. The opening selection is a song called Silver Bells, a number which has become popular only in the last year or so. It makes a nice duet. So in this song this evening, I'm going to be joined by Miss Trudy Irwin, very fine vocalist. We last worked together, I believe, on the Kraft Music Hall for 5 or 6 years. Trudy, though, up and went and got married. She married Murdo McKenzie, who was the producer of this show. I think it's very nice of her to hire a babysitter and come down and help us this evening. How many kids now, Trudy?
Two, Karen and Kathleen.
Karen and Kathleen, oh, that's nice. Say, before long, you and Mac will have an all-girl orchestra, huh? John, if you and your all-boy orchestra are ready, well, I guess Trudy and I are set, aren't we, Trudy?
I hope so.
Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
ting-a-ling,
ting-a-ling.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile.
And on every street corner you hear silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells.
It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
hear them ring.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Strings of streetlights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crush, see the kids rush. This is Santa's big day. And above all this bustle you hear silver bells.
The corner Santa Claus,
silver bells.
He's busy now because it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
it fills the winter air.
Hear them ring,
you hear it everywhere.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. Very soon it will be Christmas Day.
Thank you, Judy. Thanks very much. Say, if you folks are like me and you still have most of your Christmas shopping to do, the kids and I have a little tip for you. Now, here's what you do.
Go down to your Chesterfield dealer's store. You'll find bright Christmas gifts galore. For someone special that you'd be pleasing, get Chesterfield. And here's the reason. Mildness plus.
No aftertaste.
Mildness plus.
No aftertaste.
No unpleasant aftertaste in Chesterfield.
That's right. Yes, Chesterfield has something new. No other brand can offer you. They're milder with a better taste. And no unpleasant aftertaste.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Milder, 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 milder Chesterfield.
That's right.
Folks, with Christmas less than a week away, many of you are probably getting into a bit of a tizzy now about that last-minute shopping. Well, just relax, unwind, and calm down, because old Brother Bing has the answer to your problems. Just sashay up to your regular Chesterfield dealer, plunk your money down for some Chesterfield Christmas card cartons. When you get them that way, your Chesterfields are wrapped and they're ready to give. The carton's a beautiful Christmas card with a place for your personal greeting, and inside, milder Chesterfields with no unpleasant aftertaste. This Christmas, give Chesterfield Christmas card cartons. And now some Christmas carols here with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra and our considerably augmented vocal group.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Fast away the old year passes, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Hail the new ye lads and lasses, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Sing we joyous all together, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Heedless of the wind and weather, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Away on
cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stand by my cradle till morning is nigh. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay, keeping their sheep. On a cold winter's night that was so deep, Noel, Noel, Noel.
Gentlemen, to present our next guest of the evening, I would like to say, just by way of identification, that he's a very versatile young fellow. He's a prominent buckaroo and tractor jockey up around Elko, Nevada. He's a well-known and very flashy water skier in the vicinity of Hayden Lake, Idaho. And locally, this boy dabbles in schoolwork, basketball, stamp collecting, and just recently, he's invaded the field of art, where he shows some promise as a painter. Folks, here's a fellow I've known for 13 long years, Lenny Crosby.
Thanks, Dad.
Think nothing of it, son.
Boy, that was some buildup you gave me.
Well, it's all true. You're a busy fella. Say, by the way, how's the painting coming, huh?
Pretty good. I'm painting a Muriel.
No, a Muriel. You're painting a mural. That's Muriel.
No, Muriel. Muriel Jones.
Oh. On me, I stand Muriel Jones. I don't seem to place this girl.
You've met her.
Who is she?
Brunette, dark brown eyes, and just a hint of freckles all over her face.
Still can't place her.
You know, Spotty.
Oh, Spotty. Sure, now I dig her.
I'm painting her portrait.
You're painting her portrait? Good. I should think, though, a young artist like you would be painting still life. You know, apples, bananas, cucumbers, or landscapes, or cows, or horses.
Not with Muriel available.
She's more attractive, huh?
Yes, she inspires me.
Oh, look who's inspired. What makes you think this particular little girl is such an inspiration, anyway?
Well, I've known a lot of girls in my day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first
just
time...
The... You have, huh? I didn't know you got around so much. You've known a lot of girls, huh?
Quite a few.
Yeah?
But this is the first time I've ever given my bike away.
Well, I'll be darned.
Did you paint when you were a little boy, Dad?
No, but I blew a bike or two. I think it's about time we change the subject. What else is new and exciting with you, Lynn?
I just saw Uncle Bob's new picture.
Uncle Bob who? Hope
Uncle
or Crosby?
Bob Hope.
Hope? Must have a talk with this boy about throwing his money away.
It's a swell movie.
Please, no endorsements here now.
It's called My Favorite Spy, and uh-huh. Uncle Bob gets shot in the first reel.
I bet the audience cheered, huh?
He plays two parts.
A dual role for that boy,
dual
huh?
Role.
Can he handle it?
Well, he does pretty good, I mean. The fella that gets shot in is the spy.
Yeah?
He also plays the part of the comedian.
When does the comedian get it? That's what I'm interested in.
Oh, he doesn't get shot.
No?
He has a fate better than death.
What's that?
He marries Hedy Lamarr.
Ah, I see what you mean.
You ought to see My Favorite Spy, Dad.
I think I should, huh?
I was on the edge of my seat all during the picture.
It's that exciting, huh?
Yeah, and besides that, the theater was crowded, and I had to share my seat with someone.
Anybody we know?
Muriel.
Muriel is in again, huh? Now, you better take it easy. One of these mornings, I'll pick up Luella's column and read where Lindsay Crosby and Muriel Jones are sharing the same bag of popcorn.
That's our deal.
Your deal?
Yeah, I buy the tickets, she buys the popcorn.
Clever, clever. You're thinking, huh?
Thinking all the time.
Now, if you just get your bicycle back, I'll say you're really using the old bean. Incidentally, Lynn, while we're talking about Uncle Bob, I might as well get a plug in here about next week's show.
Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Next week, folks, our guest on this program will be Mr. Bob Hope. Also with us will be Miss Dorothy L'Amour.
Dorothy L'Amour?
Sure.
I may drop by with my paints and brushes.
Next week, young man, you'll be sitting at home in front of the radio listening to the program.
I am a TV man.
No, no, not while this program's on. You're not. You better lay off that TV. You've got to save your eyes. You know, an artist has to have real sharp eyes.
Oh, I can paint Muriel with my eyes closed.
Oh, you can. Pretty grown-up talk for a young fellow who has to stand on a box here to reach the microphone.
You know, this is a much smaller box than I used to work
That's
on.
That's right. You used to work on a big box. Now you're working on a much smaller box.
I'll be glad when the day comes when I can stand on my own 2 feet.
It'll come sooner than you think. I want to tell you something, Lynn. It's nice to have you here in the program, whether you're standing on a box or not. It's right nice of you to take time out of your busy schedule and come down here to help me out.
Well, around this time of the year, I think it pays to be extra cooperative.
Might have said. You got a little Christmas song you could do for the folks?
I could sing That's What I Want for Christmas.
Well, you have a record out on that song, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm with the Decca people.
You're with Decca. Now, that's a coincidence. So am I.
I know. That's why I'm with them.
Well, I guess you're set. Solid. Go ahead, announce your number and sing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to sing That's What I Want for Christmas. And I dedicate this song to Mr. Gary Crosby, who taught me everything I know.
Oh, Gary's been coaching you, huh?
Ah, yes. And Mom, too.
Well, then you're set. You're really ready. John Scott, take over here.
My mommy's life a song. Keep my daddy safe and strong. Let me have them all year long. That's what I want for Christmas. Dad and Mom, my brothers three. Make it so we'll always be just a happy family. That's what I want for Christmas. I would like a brand new bike. There's a saddle horse I'd like. But if these things I do not find, really, Santa, I won't mind. What I really want is this: Daddy's smile and mother's kiss. fill our land with peace and bliss. That's what I want for Christmas. That's what I want for Christmas. When I wake up Christmas Day, first of all I'm going to pray and thank the Lord for teaching me faith and hope and charity. We have neighbors quite a few. Santa Claus, it's up to you. Make our neighbors happy too. That's what I want for Christmas. Yes, that's what I want for Christmas.
Now go away. And now a word for every member of the Chesterfield family, the more than 1,300,000 retail dealers and over 600,000 wholesale distributors. Fellas, we'd like to wish you and yours the season's very best. We hope our weekly stint has helped you sell more Chesterfields during the past year, and we wish you all good luck and success in the years to come. I read a United Press dispatch from Korea last Sunday, December 15th, and I'm sure many of you folks read it too. I think it could be read again, though. It's the GI version of The Night Before Christmas, written by Lieutenant Colonel Darrell T. Rathbun of St. Petersburg, Florida. Lieutenant Colonel Rathbun is with the U.S. 9th Corps in Korea. He calls it a Korean Christmas carol. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the tent was the odor of fuel oil. The stovepipe was bent. The shoe packs were hung by the oiled stove with care in hopes that they'd issue each man a new pair. The weary GIs were sacked out in their beds, and visions of sugar babes danced through their heads. When up on the ridge line there rose such a clatter, a Chinese machine gun had started to chatter. I rushed to my rifle, threw back the bolt, and the rest of my tent mates woke with a jolt. Outside we could hear our platoon Sergeant Kelly. He's a hard little man with a little pot belly. "Come, Yancey, come, Clancy, come, Connors and Watson, up, Miller, up, Schiller, up, Baker and Dodson." We tumbled outside in a swirl of confusion so cold that each man could have used a transfusion. "Get up on that hilltop and silence that red. Don't you come back till you're sure that he's dead." Then putting his thumb up in front of his nose, Sergeant Kelly took leave of us shivering Joes. But we all heard him say in a voice soft and light, "Merry Christmas to all. May you live through the night."
Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas,
just like the ones I used to know,
where the treetops glisten
and children listen
to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be
transcribed in Hollywood. This is the CBS Radio Network. Transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads invites you to hear the great Sigmund Romberg, George Gershwin musical success, Rosalie, starring Gordon McRae and his charming guest, Nadine Connor. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another thrilling musical play is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Nadine Connor is the Princess Rosalie, and I am Lieutenant Dick Fay, who at this very moment is making the first non-stop supersonic jet plane flight from the United States to the Kingdom of Romanza.
Princess Rosalie.
Don't worry, dear. She'll be here.
The American has landed already. He'll be arriving here in the middle of the square any minute.
Oh, calmly, calmly, my dear.
But what will he think if the entire royal family isn't on hand to welcome him?
I wish I could fly across the Atlantic Ocean in 6 hours. It would be much more fun than being a king.
Who's that coming into the square?
There's only one thing that can bring that many handsome soldiers together. Rosalie.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now, each of you may kiss my hand.
Rosalie's got too many romantic notions.
Hand kissing? That's just something she learned last year when she went to Paris.
Rosalie hasn't been the same since she made that trip. She's altogether too interested in men.
Nonsense. How can she get romantic with all those good-looking hussars to keep her from falling in love?
When I leave my regiment bold, they're just like those knights of old of whom the poet tells. At moonlight parties or when out on the dancing floor, they cast a magic spell.
But though we're fine at cotillions, shine
on. Don't think these gentlemen are mere ornamental men. They're made for use as well. For when they hear the war drum sound,
rat-a-pan,
on guard and of his host is found,
every regiment a man.
Yes, clustered keener than mustard, you
do and dare.
And though they know when fights grow warm,
rat-a-tat,
one's up to greet one's uniform.
What a band, what a band.
They fight for old romance, their boots may lose their shine.
We don't repine.
Sorry, I'm late, Mother.
Our relations with America are very important to us at this moment, Rosalie.
Oh, but America is so terribly far away.
We don't want to offend this young aviator fellow.
Oh, I'll be nice to him, Father. What's his name?
His name? I'm sure he must have one. But that seems to have slipped my mind.
His name is Lieutenant Fay. Richard Fay.
Not Richard Fay.
Rosalie, what's the matter?
Look, there he comes.
Majesty, our guest of honor, the intrepid aviator, Lieutenant Dick Fay.
Well, young man, welcome to the Kingdom of Romanza. I have a speech here the Chancellor prepared for me, but I can't see. Well, somewhere here. I know I had it.
Your Majesties, the gracious welcome of your people has said more than any words can convey.
Say, well, that's very good. Why can't I ever think of things like that to say? Well, allow me to present the Princess Rose... Rosalie, where are you now? Where did that child go?
I've been looking forward to meeting the princess, Your Majesty. I've already met one of Romanza's citizens in Paris last year. She was the main reason why I made this flight. I wanted to meet her again.
Well, that's very romantic, isn't it? Who is this girl?
She wouldn't tell me. I know she's the most exciting person in the world. I know everything about her, except her name.
Well, maybe you'll happen across her during the festival.
Festival?
Yes, we're having one in your honor. Dancing in the streets, all that sort of thing. Over here, we have festivals at the drop of a hat.
Well, that's wonderful, Your Majesty. If you don't mind, I'm going to look around and see if I can find that girl.
After all.
I promised I would, didn't I? I've been searching for you ever since the dancing began. And now that I've found you, you've got to tell me who you are.
My costume should tell you. I am a peasant girl for today.
Oh, that's not enough.
Well, what else would you have me say?
What else?
When your eyes look into mine, there's something they would say. Is it no or yes?
You can guess. Look again, and quickly, then your doubts will fly away.
If their secret you tell, words are needed as well. Say so, say you love me, none above me in your heart. Pining, I'll be pining till you do. Say so, don't resist me. Say you've missed me from the start. Say so, for I pray so that it's true. There are just three little words I sigh for. Crazy about them. Three little words I die for. Can't live without them. Say so, change the gray sky to a gay sky ever blue. Say so, I shall say so, I love you.
Say so, say you love me, none above me in your heart.
Don't resist me, say you've missed me from the start. Say so, for I pray so that it's true.
There are just three little words I sigh for, crazy about them. Three little words I die for, can't live without them.
Say so, change the gray sky to a gay sky ever blue. Say so, I love you.
Ever since we met last year in Paris, I've been in love with you. I want you to go back to America with me. Tell me that you'll come, that you love me.
Oh,
don't have to tell you with words, Dick. There's a better way.
Lieutenant Bay, you are the guest of Romanza, but our hospitality can hardly extend to the lips of our princess.
Princess? I thought you were just a peasant girl.
Oh, I can't help it if I'm a princess.
Of course not. You couldn't help playing a little joke on a dumb army pilot.
Oh, Dick, please.
Rosalie, I command you to return to the palace immediately.
Oh, Dick, listen to me, please.
Your Majesty, I request permission to take off for my return flight as soon as my ship is ready.
Lieutenant Fay, I'm sorry about this misunderstanding with the Princess Rosalie.
I do not know your princess, sir. I met a peasant girl from Romanza. But it seems she doesn't exist.
Oh, Dick.
Have I your permission to leave, sir? I must return to my post at West Point.
You may leave, Lieutenant.
Thank you. My compliments, Your Majesty. Princess Rosalie, it was an honor to meet you at last in your native setting. Goodbye.
Dick.
Oh, there, there, my child.
Oh, Father. He's gone.
I think maybe you'll see him again.
Oh, no, I won't. He's gone for good.
Why should love set us a-dreaming if love is to melt like the dew?
Second act of Rosalie in just a moment. The other day, a friend of mine said to me, Marvin, I noticed that on the railroad hour, you say the railroads bring us most of the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the fuel we burn, and all the other things we use in our daily life. Now, he said, I've also heard it said that trucks handle more tons of freight than any other kind of transportation, which is right. Well, that's an easy question to answer. You see, trucks are mighty useful for some hauls and for specialized jobs. And trucks do handle a vast number of tons of freight, a lot of it, at the beginning and end of rail hauls. But when it comes to ton miles, that's tons of freight moved over the miles that stretch between our towns and cities. Why, there the railroads haul more freight, more miles, than all other forms of transportation put together, and do it at a lower average charge. Indeed, counting both tons and miles, the railroads haul almost five times as much freight to and from and between towns and cities as all the motor trucks in the country. In a recent report following investigation of land and water transportation in the United States, a Senate subcommittee said that these railroads, and I quote, constitute the backbone of our national transportation system. They carry freight which cannot be moved by any other carrier or combination of carriers. End of quotation. In World War II, for example, the railroads carried more than 90% of all military freight and provided 97% of the transportation for the organized movements of the armed forces throughout the United States of America. And in these critical times, the nation once again looks to the railroads to fill the stepped-up traffic demands of our defense program. That's why it's so important that the railroads be able to continue their billion-dollar-a-year program of expansion and improvement, a program that depends on rates that will bring the railroads earnings adequate for the job they are doing. Now here's Act Two of Rosalie, starring Gordon McRae as Lieutenant Dick Fay and Nadine Connor as the Princess Rosalie.
Thank you.
pretty disappointing when you find out that a girl you've been in love with, a girl you hope to marry, is really a princess, as unattainable as the moon. So I was glad to get away from the kingdom of Romanza and get back to the good old lights and glitter of New York City.
When I went to Romanza, I heard many a serenade. Fellows there sing a stanza when they're wooing a pretty maid. But there's one that is better far than any old tune on an old guitar. That's the serenade you hear when you land on a New York pier. 10,000 steamboats hooting, a million taxis tooting. What a song, what a song at the old New York serenade. Just hear those rivets rattling and hear the traffic battling. Come along, come along and hear it play.
Every corner has bands blowing, jazz bands droning all night long. Even though your nerves they shatter with their clatter, it really doesn't matter, 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 matter.
So keep your peace and quiet, give me that good old riot. Come along,
come along,
come along,
come along and hear that New York serenade.
Yes, sir. Lieutenant Fay reporting as ordered, sir.
Lieutenant, I have a special assignment for you. This afternoon, the Military Academy at West Point is playing host to the Royal Family of Romanza.
What did you say?
You are at attention, sir.
Yes, I certainly am, sir.
The King has asked specifically that you command the Guard of Honor.
Major, Major, please don't make me entertain the Princess Rosalie.
These are orders. You're a soldier, sir. Yours not to reason why, yours but to do.
I know, or die.
Lieutenant Fay, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Your Majesty, may I extend the welcome of the point to yourself and the Queen and...
You remember my daughter, Princess Rosalie?
Your Highness.
Lieutenant. And now, if you please, Lieutenant, we would like to be taken to our quarters.
I'm sure the guard can escort you there, Mother. I would like Lieutenant Fay to show me the grounds. I understand there's a walk known as Lover's Lane. Is that correct, Lieutenant?
Well, really, Rosalie.
Now, my dear, let the child do as she pleases. Run along, Rosalie. Just be back in time for the review.
I will, Father. Lieutenant, do you mind?
And from here, Your Highness, you can see one of the battlefields of the American Revolution. It is known as...
Dick, do you really think I made this trip all the way from Romanza to hear a lecture on the historic landmarks of the Hudson River?
Why did you come here?
To tell you that I'm sorry. To tell you that I meant every word I said to you.
What?
Yes. Oh, my darling.
Rosalie, do you love me?
Oh, yes.
Well, then why didn't you say so?
I just did.
Yeah, you did. You really did.
Yes, Dick, I really did.
Oh, gee, oh, joy. The birds are singing. Because why? Because I am in love. Oh, gee, oh, joy. The bells are ringing. Because why? Because I am in love. And all the while I seem in a dream, I never was so happy. Folks complain that I'm insane because I act so sappy. Oh, gee, oh, joy, the birds are singing. Because why? Because I am in love.
Oh, gee, oh, joy, the birds are singing. Because why? Because I am in love. Oh, gee, oh, joy, the bells are ringing. Because why? Because I am in love.
And all the while we sing in our dream, we never were so high.
complain, we're insane, because we act so sadly. Oh, gee, oh, joy, the birds are singing, because why? Because we are in love.
Mother, Dad, oh, Your Majesty, Dick and I have some wonderful news for you.
Well, I'm sure it can wait until your father reviews the changing of the guard, or whatever they call it over here.
Oh, no, it can't possibly wait. Dick and I are sure of it now. We're in love.
We have been ever since we met in Paris. Your Majesties, I want to marry Rosalie.
Well...
Never.
Oh, now, really, my dear.
Rosalie is a princess. Someday she will inherit the throne of Romanza. As long as Rosalie is a princess, I shall never give my consent.
Get off your soapbox, Mother, and let me get to the bottom of this thing. Lieutenant, do you really love my daughter?
With all my heart.
And I suppose you feel the same way, Rosalie?
Oh, I do. Oh, I do.
Well, I'm afraid your mother's right. As long as you're a princess, Rosalie, you and Dick can't get married.
But your Father, Majesty...
Now,
you think so?
Hold your horses. I've got a plan.
Have you heard anything from your father?
Oh, I don't know where he is. He's disappeared.
Well, I suppose he's getting ready to go back home to Romanza.
The ship sails tomorrow.
Well, then this may be our last waltz together, you see.
Like eyes of gold, the lanterns glow as you and I sway to and fro. For dreams was made, they say.
Tomorrow seems far, far away.
For land after lords of all,
the light of a west point fall.
Like eyes of gold, the lanterns glow. As you and I sway to and fro, a plaintive tune to maid and man, the fiddlers croon like pipes of Pan,
and life for dreams was made, they say, tomorrow seems far, far.
Gentlemen of the Academy and guests, His Royal Majesty, the King of Romanza.
Thank you very much, but you didn't give me my complete title.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, I'm not. Starting right now, I'm My Royal Majesty, the ex-King of Romanza.
No.
Shush! Let me finish. For years now, I've been the monarch of the most progressively backward kingdom in Europe. And I've been getting sick and tired of it. I think the kingdom has, too. So I called up my prime minister on the transatlantic phone to give him my abdication.
Oh, why? Why did you do it?
Well, Mother, you said Rosalie couldn't get married as long as she was a princess.
Oh.
But she's no princess if her father isn't a king. Oh, I don't see why these two young people can't go right ahead and get hitched.
Oh. Father.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
No more Majesty, boy. Just call me Dad.
But now, where will we go? What can we do for a living?
Simple. I'm going to open up a restaurant. Yeah, I hear there's a lot more money in that than there is in the king business.
Hey, Your Majesty, will you give a soldier a special rating on a wedding breakfast?
Oh, gee, oh, joy. Birds are singing, because why? Because I am in love.
Oh, gee, oh, joy, bells are ringing,
Nadine Connor will be back in just a moment. Meanwhile, our sincere thanks to Norma Varden, Herb Butterfield, Theodore Von Eltz, and our entire cast. Rosalie, with music by Sigmund Romberg and George Gershwin, book and lyrics by P.G. Wodehouse, Ira Gershwin, and William Anthony Maguire, was dramatized for The Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. For over 2.5 years, the Senate Subcommittee on Domestic Land and Water Transportation has been studying America's transportation system. Speaking of the particular problems of the railroads, the subcommittee says, and I quote, "Freight charges constitute a relatively small and decreasing portion of national income. Although transportation charges have increased in absolute amount, the proportion of such charges to the total value of commodities transported has actually decreased by almost half. In short, transportation revenues have lagged far behind increases in prices and wages generally." End of quotation. And now here again is the charming Nadine Connor.
It was fun being romanced in Romancer, Gordon.
Well, we want to make love to you again the first week in January, Nadine, in an entirely different mood. It's another great Romberg operetta, however, Blossom Time.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it. What's on the show train next week, Gordon?
Well, we're going to have a special Christmas program, Nadine, The Happy Prince, set to the great music of Christmas time. And Lucille Norman will be our guest.
Sounds like a wonderful Christmas Eve present. I'll put it on my listening list.
Good.
All aboard?
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so until next week, this is Gordon MacRae saying goodbye.
Rosalie was presented by special arrangement with the Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon MacRae can be seen in Warner Brothers' Starlit. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now keep tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC. Proceeding transcribed. Stay tuned for the Telephone Hour next on NBC. Transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents a special Christmas show, The Happy Prince, starring Gordon MacRae and his guest star, Lucille Norman. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. On this Christmas Eve, we have joined a great story with the great music of Christmas, brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon MacRae.
Merry Christmas, everybody. On this Christmas Eve, I shall be the statue of the Happy Prince. Lucille Norman is the little swallow, and John McIntyre is our narrator, who spins for us the lovely story of the Happy Prince.
You came upon the midnight clear, that glorious star.
High above the city, on a tall column, stood the statue of the Happy Prince. He was gilded all over with thin leaves of fine gold. For eyes, he had two bright sapphires, and a large red ruby glowed on his sword hilt. He was very much admired indeed.
He is as beautiful as a weathercock.
That's one of the town councillors who wanted to gain a reputation for having artistic taste. Then there was the sensible mother.
Mama, I want the moon. I want the moon.
Oh, why can't you be like the Happy Prince? The Happy Prince never dreams of crying for anything.
And then there was the disappointed man who gazed up at the wonderful statue.
I'm glad there is someone in the world who is quite happy.
One night there flew over the city a little swallow. Her friends had gone south to the Holy Land weeks and weeks before. But she had lingered behind, dipping her wings in the river and making beautiful silver ripples. All day long the little swallow flew, and at nighttime she arrived in the city. And the statue of the Happy Prince, whose head seemed to brush the starlight, heard the rush of the swallow's wings.
Whence comes this rush of wings afar, following straight the Noel star? Birds of the woods in wondrous flight, Bethlehem seek this holy night.
Tell us, ye birds, why come ye here into this stable poor and
and shepherds, birds of a sky, come where the Son of God doth lie. Christ on earth with man doth dwell. Join in the shout, Noel, Noel.
The swallow swooped down and settled for the night at the feet of the statue.
Ah, I have a golden bedroom. Now for some sleep. Why, what a curious thing. There is not a single cloud in the sky. The stars are quite clear and bright, and yet it is raining. Another drop. What is the use of a statue if it cannot keep the rain off? Now, really, this is... Why, the eyes of the statue are filled with tears, and tears are running down his golden cheek. Who are you?
I am the Happy Prince.
Why are you weeping, then? You have quite drenched me.
When I was alive and had a human heart, I did not know what tears were, for I lived in a beautiful palace where sorrow is not allowed to enter. And each year at this time, the palace rang with our joyous Christmas songs. And my voice led all the rest.
Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Everyone called me the Happy Prince, and happy I was, for I never looked beyond the walls of my palace. But now that I am dead, they have set me up here so high that I can see all the unhappiness in my city. And though my heart is made of lead, yet I cannot choose but weep.
What? Is he not solid gold?
Far away in a little street, There is a poor little house. One of the windows is open, and through it I can see a woman. In a bed in the corner of the room, her little boy is lying ill. He has a fever, and his mother has nothing to give him but river water. So he is crying. Swallow, swallow, little swallow. My feet are fastened to this pedestal, and I cannot move. Take the ruby out of my sword hilt and give it to the boy.
I don't think I like boys. Last summer, when I was staying on the river, there were two rude boys who were always throwing stones at me. They never hit me, of course. We swallows fly too well for that. But still, it was a mark of disrespect.
Please, little swallow, will you not stay with me for one night and be my messenger?
Oh, but I am expected in the Holy Land, where the sun shines even in the winter.
You have been to the Holy Land? Why, then you know the meaning of Christmas. Have you seen Bethlehem?
Oh, yes. Just a bird's eye view, of course. Ah, but it is a beautiful town, dreaming under the starlight. You for one night and be your messenger.
Thank you, little swallow. Thank you.
So the swallow picked out the great ruby from the prince's sword and flew away with it in her beak over the roofs of the city. She passed the cathedral tower where the white angels were sculptured. She passed over the river and saw the lanterns hanging to the masts of the ships. And at last she came to the boy's house. He was tossing feverishly on his bed, and the mother had fallen asleep, she was so tired. In the swallow hopped and laid the great ruby on the table. And then she flew gently around the bed, fanning the boy's forehead with her wing.
How cool I feel. I must be getting better. I shall be better for Christmas.
Then the swallow flew back to the happy prince and told him what she had done.
Thank you, little swallow. My entire city is preparing for Christmas. And how unhappy I would be if I did not have you for my messenger. Listen, the carolers singing through the streets of my city. But they do not see what I see.
To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Comfort and joy.
It is curious, but I feel quite warm now, although it is so cold.
That is because you have done a good and loving deed. Now go to sleep, little swallow.
The next night, when the moon rose, the swallow flew up to the shoulder of the golden, happy prince.
Have you any commissions for the Holy Land? I am just starting.
Swallow, swallow, little swallow. Will you not stay with me one night longer?
Oh, no, I cannot.
please, little swallow. I need you.
You do not understand. Each day it grows colder here in your city. If I stay any longer, I shall freeze.
Just one more day, little swallow.
I cannot, dear prince.
Please.
Oh, there are tears in your eyes. Are you so sad that I am leaving?
I shall miss you, little swallow. But it is not for my own loneliness that I weep, but for the sadness of others. With your help, I can bring joy to them. But if you go...
Stop your tears, dear prince. Let winter come. I will stay with you for one more day.
Praise God. Praise God.
Return for the second act of The Happy Prince in just a moment. On this Christmas Eve, we're happy to have this message from Mr. William T. Farrisee, president of the Association of American Railroads, who joins us from Washington, D.C.
Christmas is the season when men and women turn from strife and struggle toward the blessings of peace and the fellowship which someday will bring all men together as friends. This is the goal which men have sought for almost 2,000 years, which no doubt they will continue to seek for years yet to come. No man, no institution, no people alone can achieve this long-sought goal, but every man, every institution, every people can contribute to the fulfillment of the promise of the first Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill to men. The heart of that seeking for peace and goodwill is in the family, an institution which foreshadows the family of mankind. So Christmas, the festival of peace, is the great family festival, celebrated in the homes where families gather. To all such gatherings who might be listening tonight, the family of the Railroad Hour, a family made up not only of those who produce our weekly broadcasts, but also the railroad companies which sponsor them, the million people who as small stockholders own the railroads, and the 1.25 million men and women who work for them. This Railroad Hour family says to you and your family, thank you for joining our Christmas Eve party, and in your own holiday season and in the new year to come, may you find joy, prosperity, and above all, peace.
Thank you, Mr. Farrisee, and a Merry Christmas to you and yours and all of our dear friends in Washington.
And now, Act Two of the Lawrence and Lee version of The Happy Prince, our special story for Christmas, starring Gordon McRae as the Prince and Lucille Norman as the Little Swallow, with John McIntyre as our narrator.
Joyful Lord in heaven Christ, join the triumph of the skies, lift and sail it forth proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
It grew colder and colder in the city, but still the swallow remained, doing the tasks of mercy and love the happy prince commanded.
Sit on my shoulder, little swallow.
But I am so cold, dear prince.
Oh, then I shall tell you a story which will warm your heart. The story of the first Christmas.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they.
Lovely story. Perhaps you did not hear us or understand us, but we birds have sung that for a long, long time.
They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far. And
the little match girl in the square below. She has just dropped her matches in the gutter, and they are all spoiled. Oh, her father will beat her if she does not bring home some money. And she is crying, for she thinks that Christmas will pass her by. She has no shoes or stockings, and her little head is bare.
Shall I take her a ruby?
Alas, I have no ruby now. My eyes are all that I have left. They are made of rare sapphires which were brought out of India 1,000 years ago. Pluck them out and take them to the child.
Oh, no!
Her father will sell them to the jeweler and buy food and firewood. And they will celebrate the birth of the Lord.
Oh, dear prince, I cannot do that. You would be quite blind then.
Swallow, little swallow, do as I command you.
So the swallow plucked out the prince's eyes and darted down with them. She swooped past the match girl and slipped the jewels into the palm of the child's hand.
Why, what lovely bits of glass.
Then the swallow flew back to the prince.
You are blind now, so I will stay with you always.
No, little swallow, you must go away to the Holy Land where it is warm.
I will stay with you always.
You have a loving heart. Look down the streets of my city at the white faces of starving children staring out at the black world. I am covered with fine gold. You must take it off leaf by leaf and give it to the poor.
Leaf after leaf of the fine gold the swallow picked off till the happy prince looked quite dull and gray. Leaf after leaf of the fine gold she brought to the poor. And the children's faces grew rosier, and they laughed and played games in the street.
We have bread now, and perhaps for Christmas, a roast goose. Steaming and delicious.
Then the snow came. The streets looked as if they were made of silver, Long icicles like crystal daggers hung down from the eaves of the houses. And the little boys wore scarlet caps and skated on the ice. The poor little swallow grew colder and colder, but she would not leave the prince. She loved him too well. She picked up crumbs outside the baker's door when the baker was not looking and tried to keep herself warm by flapping her wings. But at last she knew she was going to die. She just had strength enough to fly up to the prince's shoulder once more.
Our task is ended, dear prince. Peace and silence sit on your city.
That is because of you, little swallow. Listen. Listen to the lovely silence of my happy city.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Come, young virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Goodbye, dear prince.
I am glad that you're going to the Holy Land at last, little swallow. It is warm there. You have stayed with me too long.
It is not to the Holy Land I am going. I am going to the house of death. Death is the brother of sleep, is he not?
Then she kissed the happy prince and fell down dead at his feet. At that moment, a curious crack sounded inside the statue as if something had broken. The fact is that the leaden heart had snapped right into it. Early the next morning, the mayor was walking the square.
Dear me, how shabby the happy prince looks. The ruby has fallen from his sword, his eyes are gone, and he is no longer golden. We must have him pulled down. And what's this? The dead bird at his feet? We must issue a proclamation that birds are not to be allowed to die here.
At the foundry where they melted the statue, there was something that puzzled the overseer.
Why, what a strange thing. Broken lead heart will not melt in the furnace. Well, throw it away. Toss it over there in that dust heap where the dead swallow is lying.
Bring me the two most precious things in the city, said God to one of his angels. And the angel brought him the leaden heart and the dead bird. You have rightly chosen, said God. For in my garden of paradise, this little bird shall sing forevermore. And in my city of gold, the happy prince shall praise.
Our thanks to Lucille Norman, John McIntyre, Herb Butterfield, Howard McNair, Patty Ione, Stuffy Singer, Katie Lee, and to our entire company. We're so happy you joined us for our Railroad Hour Christmas party. on behalf of all of the American Railroads and all the members of our company, Lucille Norman, Carmen Dragon, and all his fine musicians, Norman Luboff and all his singers, our producer, our technicians, our writers, and our arrangers. A happy, happy holiday, and God bless you, everyone.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out, and so until next Monday night, when Lucille Norman joins us for the Railroad Hour Review of the Year, a happy holiday, and good night, everybody.
Portions of the preceding program were transcribed. Gordon McRae can be seen starring in Warner Brothers' Starlet. Lucille Norman appeared through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, who are releasing the Milton Sperling production Distant Drums. Tonight's story, The Happy Prince, by Oscar Wilde, with the great music of Christmas, was dramatized for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now keep tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC. Hear the voice.
Proceeding was transcribed. Stay tuned for the Telephone Hour next on NBC.